Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7. Now, we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word brought to us by Glenn Colley.
Good morning to you. Last Sunday, I started to say it this time, but that wouldn't be accurate because it's different. But last Sunday, Carrie and I were in Ukraine at Alexevka, and I was blessed to be able to preach on that day in a couple of different places. And church, I'm telling you that I wish I could describe how important you are to those people. That church was begun in Alexevka about 20 years ago and has been consistently supported by the West Huntsville family, not only with monetary contributions, but also physically. I do not know how many trips have been made to build up that church, and now she's a thriving, great, faithful church, and innumerable are the prayers that have been lifted up in Alexevka, Ukraine, for you, and in gratitude for all that you do to make this work possible. And of course, now we have another congregation in Saltovka, which is about 25 minutes away, and those people likewise hold the West Huntsville family in such high esteem and with such gratitude because you make that work possible with the contributions that you give to the Lord, and the Lord's work continues. And we have so much that we want to say, and Carrie and I are going to give a report about this trip in a week or two when we get all the pictures together, and we'll show them and we'll talk about it some more. Now, children, listen to me for a minute. Tonight we're going to have kids sing, and I've brought coins from Ukraine. And so you need to bring with you tonight, I know where something is found in the Bible. And when you say that, I'm going to give you one of these coins from where we do this mission work in Ukraine. And I have one more thing now. One of our preachers in Ukraine and I were talking one day, and he took on a very reflective mood. And he said, Glenn, one thing that a husband should never say to his wife is, I think my mother's borscht is better than yours. I raise that because I just want to warn you husbands not to say that. Borscht is something we ate a lot of, and it's a tomato-based watery soup with cabbage and onions, and they eat a lot of that, and it's just very good. And anyway, I wanted to bring that to you. Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Roll Call of Faith, and it's because you have a list of such wonderful characters. Now, I'm telling you, people, this is who we are. These are our spiritual ancestors. You have people like Abraham there and Noah and the people of Israel when they crossed over the Red Sea, and the Bible says all of this was done by faith. When you get to Hebrews 11 and verse 13, you have a glimpse into their hearts. Now, I'm going to preach about Zion today. Called Stephen Anderson last night, who's been leading our singing this morning, and I said, I want to preach about Zion, and would you want to lead some singing about Zion? And he responded, I always love to sing about heaven. I'm so thankful for Stephen's heart and for the heart of all of our song leaders, because I know that it's likewise. Verse 13 of Hebrews 11 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, people which say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they'd been mindful of that country from whence they came, they might have had opportunity to have returned. In other words, they left to go in the direction God wanted them to go. They could have gone back. They might have had opportunity to return, but now they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now I want you to turn the page over to chapter 12, and let's read beginning in verse 22. I'm going to read now some things that we know about that place called heaven, that heavenly city which God has prepared, that the people of Hebrews 11 were looking forward to and to which you look forward. I'm in Hebrews 12 and verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. When you get to heaven, you're going to be with the angelic creation. Why? Matthew 25 and 31 says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. He'll separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. This says that when you get to heaven, you're going to be with an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered, or whose names are written in heaven. Now see, the people who are going to be in heaven are those who are members of the church of which Jesus spoke in Matthew 16 when he said, on this rock I will build my church. And that church is described in your New Testament. And this says that when you get to heaven, you're going to be with a mighty assembly, and it's going to be the church of Jesus Christ. 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. You know, there's nothing in heaven to defile it. That's what 1 Peter chapter 1 says. There will be no sin there, nor the capacity to sin. Because if that was the case, why, of course, sin would defile it. And when you get there, you're going to be with just the spirits of just men made perfect. 24, to Jesus, the mediator of the new... Jesus is going to be there. You're going to be with Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. Here's the exhortation. Don't refuse him. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. All right, here's the description. And in this description, in the beginning, we read heaven described with the word Zion. And what I want to do in this lesson is to simply walk through the half a dozen ways that Zion has been used. This will expand your appreciation for God and for the Bible and your longing for heaven. And that's my objective. Now, all of this discussion of Zion goes way on back to 1 Kings chapter 8. And so I want you to turn there in your Bible. So, matter of fact, let's go to one earlier. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 5. And I'm going to make reference to a number of different passages. So please keep your Bible on your lap. And I'll just try to give you time to turn to these passages. You might want to get a pen so that you can be making notes and underlining things as we go through. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 5. The first occurrence of the word Zion is not about heaven. As a matter of fact, it's not even about God's people. It's about a piece of ground that's owned by some Canaanitish people called the Jebusites. Now, you remember from your study of the Old Testament that the Canaanitish people that were to be defeated when Israel went into Canaan, the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Amorites, and it goes on. One of those people is the Jebusites. Now, the Jebusites own this piece of dirt, this hill in Jerusalem there, and they call it Mount Zion. I'm in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 7. Now, before I read it, one more thing. When we talk about the kings of Israel, we can roll them off pretty easily, the first few anyway. We say that the kings of Israel were Saul and David, and then Solomon and Solomon's son Rehoboam, and then the kingdom split. But that's not altogether accurate. You see, because first God selected Saul as king, but when Saul died, there was a division, a chasm occurred in Israel. And here's why. You know that God had selected David to be the king. He had David anointed a long time prior to the death of Saul. Now Saul is dead, and so David is going to be the next king. Not so fast. Abner is the military general of Saul. When Saul dies, Abner just takes it upon himself to put the crown on the head of Saul's son, Ishbosheth. Did you know that? And so all of Israel, with the exception of Judah, is going to follow Ishbosheth, and only Judah is going to follow David. And David says, God, what do you want me to do? And God says, I want you to go to Hebron. And for 7.5 years, David reigns over only part of the people of God. Only Judah, they're from Hebron. Ishbosheth reigns over the rest of them. And you've got terrible civil war in Israel at this time between the followers of David and the followers of Ishbosheth. And ultimately, because God blessed David, his forces win and are victorious, and Ishbosheth is finally killed. And when you get to this passage now in 2 Samuel chapter 5, David has begun his reign as king over all Israel. And before the book of his life is finished, it will surely be the case that he is the favored king of all Israel for all time. He's 30 years old. He's going to reign for 40 years. He comes to this piece of ground belonging to the Jebusites, and he conquers it. What's it called? That piece of dirt is called Zion. I'm in 2 Samuel 5, verse 7. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. Some translations say the fortress of Zion. That is the city of David. All right? So there we begin. It was already called Zion. It belonged to the Jebusites. All right, here's the second one. David then expands Zion to include not just that southern hill down there, but also the northern part. So all of Jerusalem, David will refer to as Zion. Same chapter, verse 9, David dwelt in the stronghold and called it the city of David. Now I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. So David expands. All of Jerusalem now is going to be called the city of David. When you get to 1 Kings chapter 8, look at verse 1. Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel, to King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant, which the covenant of the Lord, from the city of David, which is Zion. Now, in this verse, you might observe that this ground, this place, is referenced by three different names: Jerusalem, the city of David, and Zion. All right, so he keeps the name of Zion, and now it becomes more and more elevated. We get to the third use of this. David, the king, wants very much for people to recognize that Zion, the hill of Zion, is in a special way the dwelling place of God. And so what I want to do, I want you to put your string there in 1 Kings chapter 8, because I'm coming back to there. But would you walk through some of the Psalms with me? And I want to show you just how David felt about Zion and the relationship that God has with Zion. Mount Everest is, well, you know, it's the highest mountain peak in the world. That's the highest one. You might say that the closest a person can get to God, to heaven on earth, would be on Mount Everest. But that's not the way David viewed this. David would say the closest place on earth you can get to God Almighty is on the mound called Zion, the city of David. And so through the Psalms, you have him making many references to Zion and about that being God's dwelling place. So let's go to let's start with Psalm chapter 9 and verse 11. Psalm 9, verse 11. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. What's that? Zion is where the Lord dwells. Declare his deeds among the people. Turn to chapter 48, the first verse. Psalm 48, the first verse. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in His holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. You want to get close to God? He says, it's Mount Zion. It's Jerusalem. Turn to chapter 76 now. Psalm 76, the first verse. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem, or Jerusalem, also is His tabernacle and His dwelling place in Zion. Go to 132, verse 13. Psalm 132, verse 13. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for His dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. All right, you see the significance of Jerusalem. You see the significance of the city of David and the place that is called Zion. Now, go back to where we were in 1 Kings chapter 8, and I want you to drop down to verse 26. This is the occasion of Solomon's temple being dedicated. David is now dead. Now Solomon is king. And so, here on Temple Mount, there in Jerusalem, you have this new temple. And here is this speech that Solomon makes on that amazing occasion. And look at his reference to where God dwells. Bear in mind that his daddy has always said that Zion is the place that God dwells. You want to get close to God, you've got to be at Zion. And he elevated Zion in that way. Now here's Solomon, 26, 1 Kings 8, 26. And now I pray, O God of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built? Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you today, that your eyes may be opened toward this temple night and day, toward the place of which you said, my name shall be there, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes toward this place, and may you hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place here in heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. All right? So the next one on our list in discussing Zion is the dwelling place of God. And here David and his son Solomon elevate this place of Zion, the city of David, in that remarkable way. Now, the next one is the sum total of all that Judah lost. Now let me play out a little history for you here. In 922, Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, became king. And he was as foolish as his daddy was wise. And you remember that Rehoboam made some awful decisions from the get-go of his reign. And as a result, it split the kingdom. And so you had essentially 10 tribes called the Northern Kingdom or Israel. They chose them a new king. His name was Jeroboam, and Jeroboam was just as wicked as could be. But then on the other hand, you had Rehoboam, and you had essentially two tribes, and so the kingdom is split. Now, Israel, the Northern Kingdom, lasts for a little while, but of course with bad leadership and their hearts weren't right, but before long they go into idolatry, and despite all the warnings of the prophets of God, well, they turn their backs on God, and ultimately God gives them up. And so in 740 B.C., Israel goes into Assyrian captivity. And for all practical purposes, they just completely lose their identity. And sin is an awful thing, and people must not assume that they can flaunt sin before the Almighty God, and God is going to forever put up with it. The answer is, you won't. And so here's Israel in Assyrian captivity. Judah the southern kingdom, you would have thought that they'd have learned a lesson from their brother Israel, but they didn't. And a little over 100 years, a little over a century later, Judah goes into, they're in idolatry too, and they go into Babylonian captivity. It was an awful time. And I tell that story because of Psalm 137. I don't know who wrote this psalm, but it's one of the most mournful, one of the saddest psalms in the whole list of psalms. The first six verses. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, and we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps on the willow trees in the midst thereof. And the people who had drawn us away captive or carried us away captive, they said, sing us a song of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord in a foreign land? O Jerusalem, if I forget thee, let my right hand forget her skill, that is, my ability to work. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember, if I do not prefer Jerusalem above all the favored things. They longed for Zion. They dreamt of going back to Zion. But the fact of the matter is, when Judah went into captivity in Babylon, Zion was destroyed with her temple. It was just all leveled down, and there is no Zion left there. But wait. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 62 and verse 12, had prophesied something very interesting. He says to these people of Judah that you will once again be called the holy people of God, and that Jerusalem, that Zion, will be called the city that is not forgotten. What's that? What? There will come a time when a remnant of Judah will come back and rebuild the temple and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And when you get to the book of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and you see Jerusalem, it's inhabited by whom? By Jews who'd come back home again. Number next. Zion is the place where the church began. Now, Here's the place of promise where my Savior was crucified, there just outside of Jerusalem. And here's the promise in Luke 24 and verse 46, the end of the book of Luke. Now remember, Acts begins where Luke leaves off, and here's the end of Luke, and Jesus is telling what's about to happen. He says this is about the fulfillment of prophecy. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations. Do you remember the rest? Got the rest? Beginning at Jerusalem. What's that? The church will start at Zion. The church is going to begin on Zion. Now, you think about that, all that's tied into this word. You think about that it began at the beginning with the Jebusites. It's their land, and then it's David's land, and then it's called the city of David, and it's called Jerusalem. It is the city once lost. And the people of Judah cry out for Zion, long for Zion, and to sing songs of Zion again. And now, it's Sunday. Just like this Sunday, it's A.D. 33, and Peter and the rest of the apostles begin to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that on that day, about 3,000 souls were added to the church. Where was it? And the answer is, it was Zion. Zion. Now, Christians, you and I are going to leave this world someday. Your body was never intended to be a permanent house for your soul. This body of ours is not a permanent thing. It's a temporary thing. The thing about you that is eternal is your soul. And one day, you and I are going to be forever and ever in a heavenly place. And do you know what that place is called? It's Zion. Go with me to Psalm 15. Psalm 15. Let's start with the first verse. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Now it's talking about who can dwell in the presence of God, but the way that it's described is, who can dwell in your holy hill? You know why? It's reference back to the hill of Zion. It's Mount Zion. Who can dwell in your holy hill? Who can dwell in your presence? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up reproach against his friend. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. That is to say, if he makes a commitment and it doesn't turn out the way he hoped, he's still going to keep his word. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. These are characteristics, he says, of people who ultimately are going to dwell on the hill with God. And you know what that hill is? It's Mount Zion. Now, go back with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. I began this sermon in this passage and now I want to end with the same one. Because you and I have come on quite a journey together about this word and concept of Zion. It is with this background now that I want you to read again Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22 beginning. It's talking about what you and I may anticipate in heaven one day. And look at how it's described. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. You know what? We're going to Zion. And thus, the words of the songs we've been singing this morning, come ye that love the Lord, let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. For those that love the Lord, you know what? It's about Zion. We're marching to Zion. And Zion, for Christians, is heaven. There was a day when the people of Judah sat and wept on the banks of the river in Babylon. And their enemies encouraged them to sing of Zion. They couldn't do it. Their hearts were broken. They longed for Zion. I'll tell you something about Christians. We long for Zion too. And we live our lives based on the promises that God has made to us, such as 1 John 2 and 25. This is the promise which He promised us, even eternal life. And we're going to Zion. Philippians 3 and 20 says that our citizenship is in heaven. We're going to Zion. Is there someone here this morning who is not a Christian, but you've made up your mind, I must follow Jesus Christ? Have you made up your mind that you want to be a Christian? Well, we'd be so happy this morning to assist you. Repent of your sins and today you can confess Jesus with your mouth. I believe that Jesus is God's Son. We'll baptize you into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, just the way the Bible says. And He will add you to the same church to which people were added in Acts, the second chapter at Pentecost. And one day, you too will see the place called Zion. If you need the prayers of the Christians, now would be a great time. We're going to stand for convenience and sing a song of encouragement. If you'd like to respond, come as we stand and sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730. If you would like to contact the speaker, he can be reached at collie@westhuntsville.org. That's C-O-L-L-E-Y @westhuntsville.org.